Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsors for our program, and that includes Growmark, locally owned, globally strong, and Monsanto, Roundup Ready Plus, for weed management solutions. In this week's program, I'm going to share a conversation with Chris Novak with the National Pork Board, and we're going to talk about a very successful summer campaign to increase pork sales. He will talk about some of the reasons for that and some particulars about the summer advertising campaign. Chris, the Pork Board this summer, I believe, has just completed a domestic market advertising campaign that focused on the new names of the cuts for pork. Why don't you maybe start there and tell us a little bit about what the plan was going into this summer's promotional campaign?
Well, Chuck, I'll take you back to actually February of this year. And at that juncture, we had heard and seen Russia and China both make announcements that we knew were going to limit pork exports to those markets based upon political barriers that they were installing. And we also had seen USDA's hogs and pigs reports that was suggesting that we were likely to have more pork on the market coming into summer. With more product available, we knew that there was going to be a challenge, if you will, for us from a profitability standpoint. We knew that producers were already facing high feed prices, and with more pork suddenly on the market because of some export barriers, we knew that that was going to further strain profitability, and producers had been losing money since the middle of 2012. And so our board came together at our annual meeting in March and made a commitment to increase their investment in marketing domestically to try to take advantage of the fact that we were going to have some lower-priced pork at the grocery store for consumers, and also then at the same time that was happening, we were wrapping up this project on new labels for meat products. It was done simply to help consumers have a better sense of what and how to cook different meat products. So we put those two things together into a summer campaign that was simply designed to help drive profitability and drive pork sales through the summer, and we have been thrilled with the results. It truly has been inspiring to be able to take a look at the fact that we're up about 6.5% in terms of pounds of pork sold as we're looking back year on year. And certainly we saw the largest volume depletion in pork inventories looking over the last 20 years. And so truly a testament not just to the summer ad campaign, but also then several major retail partnerships that were all lined up with this advertising campaign this summer.
So it sounds like you are really facing kind of a double challenge, and with this work that you've described here, really turned it into an opportunity that's worked out well.
It has been a good opportunity, and certainly I think for producers to be able to catch their breath from the flow of red ink that we've had over the last several months, and to be able to see some profitability. Obviously, lower grain prices this summer have helped in that regard, but we've been able to maintain high pork prices even though we were seeing a little bit more pork coming onto the market. We think it also has been successful from a consumer standpoint, as part of the campaign was 10 recipes for $10. And so talking to consumers about the value of pork in the marketplace right now and what they can do to create new recipes, add some versatility to their weekly menu, and have some options that are helping them at a time when we know that the economy is still struggling along.
Well, looking at the new pork cut names and then the advertising campaign that I guess, kind of capitalized on that or focused on that, so to speak. Can you tell me a little bit about how this came about that, you know, we now have steak names for pork cuts?
Well, and you know, this is one of those things, certainly, I think I've heard from a number of friends in the beef industry, and I can go back to the days where there's turkey bacon, and we've got a lot of different folks that are claiming to have sausage products, and that riles up pork producers every now and then. I think the true aficionados will always recognize that bacon comes from pigs, but at the end of the day, this truly is about helping consumers understand what's in the meat case and appreciate the value of the different products that are there. And you know, there are beef hot dogs and pork hot dogs, and I think consumers are certainly smart enough to know what they like and what they're looking for, and look for both taste and value when they get to the meat case. The new names that have come out for pork, you know, yes, capitalizing on ribeye and porterhouse, but I also think that consumers, you know, will know the difference between a steak and a chop, and so a porterhouse chop is going to be identified as pork, and the porterhouse steak will be identified as beef, and consumers, I think we simply have to trust them to know the difference and to be able then to look at the value and appreciate the taste and the flavor of both those products.
Yeah, when you mentioned turkey bacon, I saw a nice little cartoon on, I think it was Facebook today, with two pigs standing there, and one of them says turkey bacon, and the other one says, I don't know if I should be insulted or relieved. It was pretty funny. But, you know, I think you did make a good point there, because I was at the Cattle Industry Summer Conference and did hear some expressions of, I don't know if I'd say concern or maybe some disappointment, because I guess when you do your advertising, and I'm assuming this is partially for producer communications, those spots do run in farm reports that a lot of these folks hear, and so I think they got a good dose of it, and maybe were caught a little off guard, it sounded like. So, yeah, I think they're... is some concern out there about that, but you know, I mean, what would you say to cattle producers about what you guys are doing with the marketing? Because I think it's a totally different approach than you've done before.
It is and it's not, Chuck. I think probably to some extent the other white meat certainly generated a great deal of controversy when it came out. And yet clearly the other white meat was allowing us to compare pork's nutritional profile back to chicken and the traditional white meats, if you will. So, you know, we've done those types of comparisons before. I think at the end of the day, you know, first and foremost, you know, we are competitors for the center of the plate. We are trying to capture consumer attention and the consumer dollar, just as the beef industry does. And I think if you look at it from that perspective, and then you start with the idea that we're in the marketing business, and when you're in marketing, you have to look at what are the advantages that you have for your product. And right now, one of those advantages that we have from a pork standpoint is value. And so that's the message that we've taken out to consumers. And I can understand that our competitors, whether it's in the beef industry or any protein sector, may or may not necessarily like that message, but it's one that's focused on the consumer and what we're trying to provide to the consumer.
Well, it sounds like I don't want to say hit a home run, but it's certainly you can attach the word successful to this when, especially when you mentioned the challenges you were facing going into this summer. And I guess, is there anything else about what your efforts are or are needing to be right now, looking ahead, that you might want to just kind of say to folks about what pork is doing industry-wise?
So we launched Pork Be Inspired in 2011, and this summer campaign that did focus on pricing was essentially a 6-week radio run across national advertising. The fall TV ads that we'll be rolling out shortly will be the Pork Be Inspired message that we've carried and won't focus as much on value as we move into fall. We have been excited to see the progress that we've made with the Pork Be Inspired campaign. The Other White Meat was our hallmark, it was our foundation, and to some extent it's still a part of our advertising effort. But consumers told us that we needed a new message, that they wanted to learn something new about pork, that they wanted to fall in love with pork all over again. And the Pork Be Inspired campaign is helping them do that. We're tracking our results from that advertising campaign twice a year, and what we're seeing is great awareness from our target audience, increased consumption of pork from our target audience, and certainly they're hearing and understanding and adopting the messages that we're taking forward about pork. And so we'll continue that focus on Pork Be Inspired. I'm just thrilled with the effort of my marketing team in putting together an integrated approach to marketing that is leveraging the partnership that we've had with major retailers like Walmart and Costco and Kroger. We did two major retail promotions this summer that not only helped extend the advertising and the value message, but also certainly were responsible for helping take down the inventories of pork and drive some of that volume that we've discussed earlier. But that having those retail promotions tied together with the advertising, with the public relations effort, has truly helped us drive new value into pork marketing.
Pork will continue to be a part of what goes on my grill, because I like all of the choices, personally.
I may be the CEO of pork, but certainly our family's plate contains a little bit of every protein,
right.
And I certainly I like my filet beef fillets wrapped with bacon, but looking for that day that certainly we'll continue to work together as beef and pork industries. There are so many issues. Coming back to your question earlier about messages to cattlemen, we've appreciated the opportunity to work with the cattle industry on the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance. And from a pork industry perspective, we've made a major investment and a major commitment along with the beef industry to be able to talk to consumers about the issues that they're concerned about. We've worked closely with the beef industry on issues such as antibiotics and growth promotants, and we're also in the midst of joint efforts with them on foreign animal disease. So friendly competition, I think, is important as we fight for that share of center of the plate, but at the same time, we're committed to continuing to cooperate and work together as industries that are facing a set of common challenges.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for taking some time to speak with me here about the efforts that you guys have gone through this summer.
Very welcome. Thanks for the opportunity, Chuck.
Well, that is the Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.